Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2015 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, Mary. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 2015 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Thursday, November the 5th, 2015. I am Aurora Davidson, the company's Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Such forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about our copper production for 2015, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. You should review our press release issued on November the 4th and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecast and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. Now I would like to introduce the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, Rob Henderson.
Thanks, Aurora. Aurora and I are going to be discussing the Q3 results with you. Klaus Zeitler has retired as CEO, as we reported in September. However, he does remain very active as Executive Chairman, and I look forward to continue working closely with him and tapping into his extensive knowledge of the business. Our General Manager at MVC, Raul Poblete, has also retired after 25 years with the company. Raul remains a member of the board of MVC, and we will continue to benefit from his advice and experience. This is my first presentation as Chief Executive Officer, and I'm very excited about the opportunity to grow the business. We have an experienced team, both here in Vancouver and down in Chile at MVC. Plus, we have a great asset in the form of the historic Cauquenes deposit. The first phase of the Cauquenes expansion project is due to be completed in Q4 this year, and I'm happy to report on time and under budget. We have commenced extraction from the Cauquenes deposit in September, and we expect MVC to ramp up to higher copper production and lower costs in 2016. We have made a substantial investment into MVC in Chile at a time when mining finance is hard to find and investor sentiment is low. However, we believe that the copper market will eventually swing to a deficit again, and copper price will again respond positively. However, we at Amerigo have certainly seen the headwinds blowing hard in the form of low copper prices last quarter. The average copper price in Q3 2015 was $2.38 a pound, compared to $3.17 a pound in Q3 last year. This low price environment has sharpened our focus on cost management and has resulted in decisions such as the suspension of molybdenum production in Q1 and the suspension of copper production from Colihues in Q3. The guys at site continually make operational trade-off decisions between lower production or lower costs, and the decisions have swung towards cost reductions, often at the expense of pounds of copper produced. As a result, MVC's quarterly revenue is down from last year, as are the costs. and the net quarterly result for Q3 2015 is negative operating cash flow. Clearly, this is not sustainable, and a lot of work remains to be done at MVC to improve the situation. I am pleased to report that MVC operated safely with no employee or contractor lost time incidents, a significant result given that over 1,000 contractors were on site in July during the peak of construction for Calkenis. In Q3, MVC produced 8.5 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $2.07 a pound. As we reported, the company suspended production from Coliwes in July in response to ongoing low copper prices, and the first tonnage from Calkenis was delivered to the plant in September. So what we have is a transitional quarter. We don't have full production from any of our historic deposits. And the ramp-up of Calkenis, the tons grade and recovery, is behind schedule. Work is still underway on completing the plant modifications that were included in the phase one scope of work. And this work should all be complete next month in December. But as a result of the low copper prices and a slower than expected startup at Calkenis, MVC's annual production guidance for 2015 has been revised to 38 million pounds of copper at an annual cash cost of $2.15 per pound of copper. I'll now hand over to Aurora to discuss the financials.
Thank you, Rob. Well, first, I would like to congratulate you and the team at MVC on achieving the first production from Calkenis last September and for reaching substantial construction of phase one of the project on time and, as all indicates, under budget. These are very significant milestones for the company. As you mentioned, organizational changes have taken place both in Amerigo and at MVC as part of the company's succession plan, and I'm honored to continue to be a member of the management team under your leadership as president and CEO in these exciting and challenging times. Without any question, Q3 was a difficult quarter for the company due to low copper prices. To refresh our memories, quarterly average copper prices this year were $2.64 a pound in Q1, $2.75 a pound in Q2, and $2.38 a pound in Q3. The average copper price for Q3 was therefore 37 cents per pound lower than in Q2, and this negatively impacted revenue in two ways. First, we booked quarterly revenue at a lower copper price, which is a provisional price. And second, we had to adjust the Q2 provisional prices to lower final prices given the current M+3 pricing arrangements in place at MVC. The dollar value of the negative price settlement adjustments booked in Q3 was $2.6 million, in absence of which our operations would have again generated operating cash flow of approximately $700,000 in Q3. As you mentioned, the low copper price environment resulted in the suspension of Coliwa's processing in Q3, which adversely affected production. Process efficiencies and cost reductions continue to be a priority at MVC and at Amerigo. And as a result, cash cost per pound has come down from $2.33 in Q1 to $2.15 in Q2 to $2.07 in Q3. This is clearly not enough, and increasing production and optimizing our cost structure are our top mandates. Despite these challenges, we maintained a healthy cash position at MVC of $9.9 million at quarter end, and in October, we received a Chilean tax refund of $2.3 million, which was a welcome addition to the Treasury. We have a diligent process in place to measure cash flow behavior at MVC, both operationally and for the completion of the Cauquenes expansion. As long as the monthly final settlement copper price is below $2.80 a pound, we receive $1 million a month from Codelco as a copper price support. To September 30th, we had received $4 million from this $17 million facility. We also have in place a $13 million line of credit, which can be drawn if required during construction and commissioning of the Cauquenes project. We are mindful of the debt load that has been taken at MVC to fund the Cauquenes expansion and would prefer not to draw on this facility, but we sleep better at night knowing it is there if needed. As we move into completion of construction of Phase 1 of Cauquenes and progress through the project ramp-up, we are currently immersed in our budget and cash flow planning process for 2016 to ensure we are positioned to operate as efficiently as possible, even if the current low copper prices were to persist next year.
Thanks, Aurora. Operator, that is our presentation, and I guess we're open for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Stephen Otridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Okay, questions. Any more major capital spending needed other than just routine maintenance?
Hi, Stephen. This is Rob. We've essentially completed the first phase of the expansion, which gives us, you know, access to Cauquenes. We will continue to have the normal ongoing sustaining capital to move the sumps. So we do expect, you know, some sustaining capital next year, but we still have a phase two of the project to look at next year, and that would be to upgrade the plant. So, you know, essentially we have almost completed phase one under budget, but there is a phase two still in the books.
But it looks like with the current copper prices, phase two will not be starting next year.
Yeah, we're going to have to, you know, have a close look at that early next year. But, you know, there certainly is a very interesting project there to, you know, improve the plant and increase recoveries. However, we understand that financing could be challenging.
Why would you need to improve the plant just because of Cauquenes?
That was always part of the feasibility study. You know, we elected to split the project into two phases. We were getting the first phase to get the material into the existing plant, acknowledging that we would have to live with substandard recovery rates, because we know that with improved flotation time, we can get more copper out of the deposit. However, that's going to cost extra money. So, you know, that phase two is still a valid option.
So Cauquenes deposit being different than Collahuasca, I guess the grade is higher, and that affects the production.
It is. I mean, it's an older deposit than Collahuasca, and the minerals are slightly different, and the mineralogy is different. There's a lot more finer material. So, you know, we've always known that we would have to add additional float capacity in order to get the full recovery potential from the deposit.
Now, I mentioned in the news release that the ramp-up for Cauquenes was slow.
Correct.
And I'm questioning, why was the ramp-up slow?
What we're seeing is that the recoveries, we're using temporary equipment from Caliwis right now. Whilst we re-pipe the plant, we've got to reconfigure the plant in order to handle the material from Cauquenes. This work is still ongoing. It's going to be complete this month. And we expected, using some temporary equipment from Collahuasca, that we would have higher recovery rates than we're currently seeing in October. So, you know, that didn't materialize. So now we have to wait for the completion of this plant work in order to, you know, get the recoveries we're expecting. So basically, October has been a lot slower than we expected from a recovery point of view.
Okay.
We're also expecting, you know, the normal startup issues with pumps, et cetera, experiencing some wear, slightly higher downtime than we would have expected. But those are normal commissioning issues, and, you know, we expect to get over those soon. But I think it was mainly the reasons for the low recovery is what's causing us to reassess our copper guidance for the year.
Okay. Your power costs have gone up quite noticeably over last year. Are they now stable, or will they be going down or up from here?
They're stable. We do have a long-term contract at around about 10 cents per kilowatt hour for this year and next. Our power cost is supplemented when we run our own generators, and this depends on the grid price in Chile at the time. So if the grid price is high, we can run our heavy oil-based generators and generate extra profit, which we credit towards power price. With the heavy rainfall events down in Chile, the grid price for power is currently lower than what we can run our generators at. So the generators have not been running recently. Hence, we're stuck at around about 10 cents per kilowatt hour. And in the past, it has been slightly lower than 10 due to the contribution from our own generators.
Okay. So then the other final question I'll have, maybe Aurora comes in here, is you're now going to have interest charges quite noticeable going forward. How much are they going to be on a quarterly basis?
Stephen, the interest charges have accumulated since the inception of the debt. They have been capitalized. We had the first interest payment on our Tranche A going out in June, quarterly payments on the Tranche B, which is a VAT financing facility, go out on a quarterly basis or are paid out on a quarterly basis. The next interest payment on Tranche A is in December. It's going to be around $550,000. Our approximate finance expense for 2016, assuming normal capital repayments in June and December of next year, would be about $1.1 million a year.
Okay. Okay, now another question is, Michael Cooter normally runs these calls. Is Michael still with you?
Michael is. He is in the hospital right now. He had a serious medical condition last month, so he's in the hospital right now.
Oh, dear. I did not. I was not aware of that, so that's fine. Which hospital is he in?
He's in the Vancouver General team.
Vancouver General. Okay. Okay, well, that's good. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The following question is from Joseph Rieger from Newport Beach. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and thanks for taking the questions. Couple of things. First, looking at the revenue from the quarter, it seemed a bit light on the normal calculation. I know Aurora mentioned something about a $2.6 million charge of sorts, but back of the envelope, it looks like the tolling fee should have been $4.5 million higher. Is there some explanation for that?
We have the tolling fee calculated on a monthly basis. Some of the detail is lost when we are looking at quarterly, because there was, for example, higher production levels in August at not such a good price, et cetera. But the only real difference that we are seeing for Q3 would be that $2.6 million in the copper settlement adjustments. As we were saying before, the rest of the production provisionally priced at very low copper levels, and we also had lower production in the quarter than in Q1 or Q2. In addition to the fact that the production attributed to Cauquenes and the cost attributed to Cauquenes are not going through earnings because we're still in the construction phase. So those are accounted for as a credit to the capital project.
Okay, that makes sense. That kind of explains the discrepancy then that I had on my sheet. And then on that note, are you guys expecting to continue to capitalize any revenue from Cauquenes in the fourth quarter?
It's an estimation that we are reviewing on a monthly basis. For the month of October, it's still being capitalized. And we will look at a series of factors in November and December to determine when is the appropriate time to start flowing those through earnings.
Okay. One more item on the revenue before we move on, a few other things. So in the quarter, you had about $1.6 million in Lidlum and other revenue. And obviously, there's no real Mali revenue right now with that with the plant shut down for Mali.
Yeah, that's all Kahunga concentrate sales.
That's all what again?
The tolling agreement we have with Minera Maricunga.
Okay, and is the $1.6 million like a fair run rate to expect from that moving forward, or is that like a better than normal quarter?
It's an average quarter, depending on, and it's fully dependent on the amount of concentrates we receive from them. We had 1.8 in Q1. Q2, they were affected by some floods in the region, so it was substantially lower. Q3 was $1 million higher than Q2. So, you know, it changes. There is nothing abnormal about the 1.6 on a quarterly basis if their operations are normal.
Okay. Second thing on Coquinas, and probably Rob, this probably goes to you. You know, the initial grade, you know, sub 0.2% is a bit lighter than expectation. Is that just normal startup, or you know, is there a bit of a variability throughout the tailings deposit? You know, can we expect some fluctuations in grades from, you know, quarter to quarter?
Yeah, I mean, we are going to see fluctuations. The, you know, the grade that we reported in Q3 is obviously from the very topmost layers of the deposit extracted, and, you know, we know that that stuff is pretty low grade, so we're, you know, certainly in the first few months, we expected to see, you know, quite a bit of dilution from the top, you know, couple of meters of material, which essentially has very little grade. So that's not a big surprise. We will see grades, you know, continue to increase as we go forward.
Okay. And then on recovery rates there, obviously the initial run was a bit disappointing. You know, what should we expect as far as, you know, for the rest of this year? And then once you've worked out the kinks, what is the target recovery rate without doing the phase two expansion?
Right. We, you know, we're, as I mentioned, you know, we're running temporary equipment right now. The proper equipment's going into place as we speak. So, you know, next week we'll have a way better idea of what that recovery rate's going to be. But, you know, the 16% recovery we saw in the first, you know, 11 days in September is way lower than what we projected. But no, we haven't done our budget yet for next year, so we are still working on that, and we're going to get data in the next couple of weeks that's going to give us a much better idea of what we can expect going forward. But it's, you know, it's certainly going to be a lot higher than what we saw in September.
Okay. And then given you guys said the total budget is going to be about $66 million now for Coquinas, what's been spent of that to date so we can have kind of an idea of what's left for Q4 and maybe Q1?
Let me just give you some numbers. Up to September, I'm not going to contaminate them with October there. So we have revised the budget to $66.6 million. We had incurred $57 million to the end of September, and we have approximately $2 million in accounts payable on top of that. So we have, let's say, around $11 million still to be paid on a cash basis in Q4 for the project.
Okay. Okay. I think that covers everything I had. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. The next question is from John Polkery from New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two quick questions. You had, I believe, been working on a project to generate some of your own power as a backup to relying on the existing sources. Do you have any update on that or?
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, we do have generators on site. We can generate up to 20 mega using heavy oil fuel generators. They were put in, quite a few years ago, and we continue to run those when the grid price in Chile is sufficiently high to make a profit out of them. So, we do have on-site generating capacity.
No, I understand that, but wasn't there a proposal to augment that with another power line?
Not really. I mean, the power consumption from the expansion didn't necessitate another power line. We've always looked at possibly doing something else with power, but it's reasonably low priority, and we do have contracts and long-term contracts in place now for power for most of our power needs going forward. So looking for alternative power supplies is not a high priority with us right now.
When does this contract run through?
It runs until 2024, I believe.
Okay. So it was extended.
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. We made that agreement when we got the finance facility with BBVA. They wanted longer tenure in our power supply contract, so we
Right.
extended the deal with the existing supplier.
And lastly, this is more of a big picture question, but at what level of copper, spot copper prices would you be comfortable with without any dramatically further cutting of costs that would approach, make you comfortable with a break-even operation? Do you have a ballpark copper price in mind?
We're in the budgeting process right now, and we're guiding our site to use a price of 230 for next year. And under those conditions, we think we would be okay with all our debt repayments. So
Right.
In that region is acceptable.
So, say a 230 or higher price, you would be cash flow neutral. Would that be a fair statement?
Exactly. That's the current kind of work on the table right now with the existing budget.
So, okay. So, a bit higher than the current market price might be a
How about
comfortable.
today's 229? Today the spot price is 229, so we could live with today's copper price.
Right.
We obviously don't want to have to do that, but we
Right.
have to be ready for that.
Absolutely. No, I'm sure 250 or 3 would make you much happier, sure.
That it would.
Yeah. Thank you. That was it.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, Mary. Without any further questions, we should proceed to terminate our investor conference call. Thank you to all participants.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.